John chapter 13. Look if you would, starting at verse 36. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now, down throughout history, many people have used many different ways to identify themselves as Christians. Some put signs of fish on the back of their cars. Some put chains around their necks with crosses. Some wear shirts that have the name Christian written on them, or something, you know, that scripture of some sort on those shirts. I've even seen people wear plastic bracelets that said WWJD, or What Would Jesus Do? And that you know, what they're trying to say is, you know, I'm a Christian, or at least that's what they're trying to profess. There are some church leaders today who wear special cloths that distinguish them as being in the ministry. How many of you know that there are people that wear their collars around backwards? You think I'd look good that way? No, I don't either. Don't worry, I'm not going to be doing that, okay? But, you know, some people use different things to identify themselves as Christians, and there's really nothing wrong with it, really, as far as having symbols or different things to tell people you're a Christian. But the thing about those symbols and cloths and bracelets and all those sorts of things is that they are superficial. In other words, it's fine if you wear a button that says, I'm a Christian, but I think God has a better way for believers to identify themselves as Christian, and that's the way we live, the way, you know, how we handle things and how people see the way we handle things. Now, we're in this kind of a series here on being the committed Christian. And last week we learned, you know, that there's a great need for people, for Christians today to be totally committed to the Lord. Today, the average Christian, would you agree that the average Christian today is not totally committed to the Lord? I mean, when you look at, you know, now I'm just talking about Christians in general. I'm not saying independent Baptists. I'm saying it's Christians in general. The norm today is to not be committed to the Lord. That's the reason I've often thought that if in this country, if things got as bad as they were when the early church started under Rome, I wonder if there'd be as many people that would still take a stand and that would not, give up their faith in order to save their own skin, okay? And why? Because I just don't think that there's as many committed Christians today that will say, listen, I'm gonna follow the Lord no matter what. No matter what somebody tells me, I'm still going to follow the Lord. No matter what law there is, I'm still going to follow the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to be totally committed to Christ. And that's one of the things that we need so much in our churches today is Christians that are just sold out, that says, listen, whatever needs to be done for the glory of God, I'm going to do it. No matter what it is in church, if it means me actually having to be uncomfortable and doing something, as long as I'm glorifying the Lord, I'm going to do it. Most Christians today, they're only going to serve God until they get to the edge of their comfort zone, and then they don't want to go any further. Well, listen, folks, if you're going to be totally committed to God, sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. Right. Amen? Why? Because it's not about us, it's about the Lord and what He wants. Hey, the Lord gave us the Great Commission. Amen? And that means we are to go out and tell others about Christ. Now, I understand that when you do that, sometimes we get out of our comfort zone when we do that. So what do we do? Well, we make it a little bit easier by giving you tracts where you can hand people tracts. If you get nervous, I just tell people, just hand them a tract and take off running afterwards. Amen? I mean, even then, though, you've got to kind of get out of your comfort zone to even do that, to approach somebody. Why? Because you don't want people to think less of you. It's a natural human response. You want people to accept you. Okay, and so what do? We get to that point and we say, oh, I'm not going to go any further than this. I'm not, you know, I feel comfortable of maybe, coming here and coming to a Bible class or maybe even going out door knocking, but I don't feel comfortable working in the nursery. Hey, listen, there's a need. Amen? And people say, I'm not comfortable doing it. Well, sometimes you just got to get out of your comfort zone. Why? Because it's not for us, it's for the Lord. We need to make sure that we need to be committed Christians. And so, like I said, I think there's a great a great need today for Christians to be more committed. So that's really what this series is about, is to try to show us the importance of being a committed Christian rather than just being your average everyday Christian who only serves God up to the point where they don't feel comfortable, where they don't no longer feel comfortable, and that's where they stop. And so we want to get beyond that. We want to go the next step for the Lord. And so we're looking at people today who they want to wear things that shows people that they're committed, but are they really committed? I mean, in other words, what I'm trying to say is this. If I walk around and I've got this bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" does that mean that every single time I get ready to do something, I'm going to say, "What would Jesus do?" No, but I want people to think that. You see, that's the reason why a lot of people... Now listen, if you got one of those bracelets on, I'm not saying anything bad about you, okay? But what I am saying is this, that what you wear does not necessarily accurately portray who you are. I have no doubts that there are people that wear a WWJD bracelet that aren't even saved. I have no doubts that there are people driving around with a big old fish on the back of their car that have never received Jesus Christ. Why? It's not the symbols that you have with you that shows you who you are. It's how you live and how you handle things. And listen, it's all about your faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't do things so that other people will see what you do. You do the things so that God will see what you're doing and you want to glorify Him. That's the reason why we have Christians today that they do what they do is to be seen of other people. They want to be popular with other people. And so what do? They do all these different things, and then when all of a sudden those people disappoint them and they no longer think that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, then they say, "I'm done." Well, listen, the way it's supposed to be done is this. We serve because we love the Lord. We serve because we want to glorify Christ. And even when people don't appreciate us, we keep on going. We keep on going. What? It isn't about us. It's never been about us. It's about Christ. And so there are people today who identify themselves with Christ in many things that they wear, but not necessarily the way they act and their commitment. I tell you this, if you want to see how much somebody is really committed to the Lord, see how far out of the comfort zone they'll go. See some of the things that they will do just for the Lord. And so, again, there's nothing wrong with this, but many things that are only done outwardly. But the heart could not be right, necessarily. I mean, maybe your heart isn't right, but yet you're trying to show somebody on the outside that you're right when you're really not. And so, many times, those things like, you know, shirts and bracelets and, you know, signs and all those things, many times they have no value. Now, there are people today who will say that, "God bless you," or "God bless you," and they'll say things, but they're not even saved. How many of you understand this morning that just because somebody says "God bless you," and just because somebody says that they're a Christian, that does not necessarily mean that they're a Christian? You know, one of the things that I do whenever I'm talking to people or I'm witnessing to people is when I talk to them about their salvation, I like to put the ball in their court and I'll tell them, I'll say, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am." And I'll say, "What makes you a Christian?" Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're saved, you'll be able to answer that question. If I asked you today what makes you a Christian, I have no doubt that somebody in this room would say, "Because I received Jesus Christ and I put my trust in His and the death on the cross, that He has saved me from my sins." I'm sure somebody's going to say it. Now listen, I hope that somebody says that. Amen? But when you say, "Well, what makes you a Christian?" you would be surprised some of the answers you get. I remember one time I asked that question and a lady said, "My dad's a deacon." Sorry, that doesn't make you a Christian. I've had other people saying, "Well, I go to church." That doesn't make you a Christian. There's only one thing that makes you a Christian. I'm talking about a saved, born-again believer. There's only one thing, and that's your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? And it doesn't matter how many signs that you have on your car. It doesn't matter how many bracelets you're wearing. There's only one thing that makes you a Christian, and it's not the superficial things that you wear or the super things that you carry around with you. It's the fact that you received Jesus Christ. And so there are many cults today who don't even have believers in their churches. There are many cults today. These people are lost, and they're just as sincere about what they believe as what you believe. They're just as strong in their beliefs as you are, but the one thing they don't have is the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're spiritually discerned, and they do not have the Holy Spirit of God within them. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." You see, just because somebody says that they go to a Christian church doesn't mean that their church is Christian. Just because they say they're a Christian doesn't mean that they're Christian. I mean, if you think about the largest Christian church in this country, of what they call Christian, it's not even doesn't even teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm talking about the largest organization. I'm not talking about the largest single church. I'm talking about the largest organization. They're not even Christian, folks, not in the things that they teach. And so, you know, a true Christian doesn't need a button or a sign or a fish bumper on the back of the car to let people know that they're a child of God. Now here in John chapter 13, really from verse 31 all the way to John chapter 16, verse 33, we see Jesus' final address before going to the cross. In other words, he's given his final address to everybody before he goes to the cross and before he is hung on the cross. And these instructions that Jesus gives are really a series of warnings and commandments that stand as orders to us from the Lord. And when you read your Bible, understand that everything that is said that applies to us applied to them and is applied to every Christian throughout the ages. In other words, it's not just back in those days that's who it applied to. No, that Bible is good for us today as well. And so we can learn a lot from what Jesus said here. Now, the disciples had, before this time, enjoyed protection. They enjoyed leadership of Christ in person. But now he was going to leave them. They would be alone. And they needed instruction now to carry on their own. And as these orders should motivate us as coming from the Savior who wants best for each of us, I mean, it motivated them, it should motivate us. There are all kinds of things that a Christian could do to show that he is committed to the Lord. But one of the greatest needs today is for Christians to be totally committed to the Lord. And for each of us who profess to live a life that we say pleases the Lord, but for us to be committed to actually live that life. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. But we live in a day to where one who is totally committed to the Lord is looked at as abnormal. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. If a Christian today says, I am going to be totally committed to Christ, and I'm going to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm going to serve Him no matter what, you're going to be looked at as abnormal by the rest of the Christians. You know how many Christians I've heard that have told me, well, I'm a Christian too, but I don't take it that far. Yeah. You know, that Christian, for one thing, what Christians will do is when they see somebody else serving the Lord more than them, they'll automatically try to attack that person and belittle that person and saying, well, that person's a fanatic. I'm no fanatic. Now, I believe in the Lord and everything, but I'm no fanatic. I believe in the Lord and everything, but I don't try to shove my religion down somebody else's throat. I believe in the Lord and everything, but I don't go that far. You know what they're saying? They're saying that the committed Christian is the one in the wrong. And they're trying to say, listen, everybody should be uncommitted like I am, and don't be a fanatic like he is. In other words, I want everybody to look at me. What he's doing is he's looking at himself and saying, I'm not as committed as I need to be. So therefore, when that guy's out serving the Lord, let's find something to take him down a notch. That's how they are. Why? Because if you're a committed Christian today, people look at you as you're abnormal. And to tell you the truth, it's kind of always been that way. You know, the Bible tells you over in the book of Acts that at Antioch, they were first called Christians. It never tells you who called them that. I always wondered if there were a couple of Christians in there that called them that. What are you people, a bunch of Christians around here? I mean, what are you doing here? You'd be willing to go out and risk your neck for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's what people do. And that's the reason today we're considered abnormal, even amongst Christians, if we're totally committed to the Lord. But we are to be totally committed to the Lord. That's the reason why Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice every day, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Listen, if you are not sold out to the Lord today, if you are not making a sacrifice every day for the Lord, you're not being reasonable. Now, that's what that scripture says. You're not being reasonable. Now, in our text here in John chapter 13, we see where Peter's supposed statement of commitment to the Lord. You'll notice there when you read what he said this in verse 37. He said, and Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Amen. Now, boy, doesn't that sound spiritual? I mean, if you just took him at his word, you'd say, boy, that is one committed Christian right there. Boy, I'm telling you what, he is absolutely sold out for the Lord. Anything the Lord wants from him, he's going to do. I mean, you read that. And he says, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And then you'll notice that Jesus' response to Peter's enthusiastic statement was to tell him that before the cock crowed three times, he would deny him. Now, we look at that and we're thinking, well, boy, Jesus sure took him down a notch. But the truth of the matter is Jesus wasn't trying to discourage Peter at all. Peter was learning. And we need to learn something as well that would be very important for us, because listen, we're not born committed to Christ. There's nobody born committed to Christ. You become committed to Christ. To be honest with you, you become more committed to Christ the more you believe him and the more you believe what he says. That's when you're really going to start being committed to Christ. Now, we're going to look at that. Well, I'm going to prove that to you here in just a little bit. But Peter's response here was an emotional one. In other words, when the Lord says, listen, I've got to, where I go, you can't go with me, but one of these days you will. And Peter says, well, wait a second, I would lay down my life for you. I would, anything you want, I would do. That was an emotional thing. How many of you understand that Peter sometimes got emotional? And sometimes Peter said things, he sat there and said things that, well, it made him look really spiritual, but it really was superficial. In other words, it was all talk. Amen? Now, he had an emotional response, but to truly live for the Lord and be used by him, we need more than an emotional response in order to be committed to the Lord. Much of Christianity's movement today has as its driving force the emotional reaction to service to the Lord. People are stirred by music. How many of you know that there are people who are stirred by music and that turns into emotions? You know, there are certain songs like Beulah Land. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you really want to see your pastor cry, have a good somebody sing Beulah Land and I'll be like, woo-hoo. It's the way it is. It affects me emotionally. Amen? There are some churches to where rhythmic preaching it plays on people's emotions. In other words, they're not really hearing what the preacher is preaching. They're hearing the rhythm of the way he's talking. How many of you ever heard in some churches there'll be somebody, while they're preaching, I should do it on the organ, but while the preacher's preaching, somebody will do this. Amen? And the whole time he makes a point. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But it's on the organ. I've always told people, listen, somebody do that to me, I'll preach until I fall over dead. Amen? Why? It's that rhythm part. In other words, it plays on the emotions. That's the reason why you have people that they'll get emotional during a service and they'll come down and they'll pray and get right, but then the very next day, they're right back to doing what they were doing. Why? It's emotional. Emotions can change. Amen? I mean, you can be happy one moment. Next moment, you're upset. One moment, you're crying. The next moment, you're not crying. Your emotions can change. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that our commitment to Christ ought not be based on emotions. Because if it is, you're not going to be committed very long. You know, I have no doubt that there are people that by emotion say, you know what, I just haven't been serving the Lord like I want to. And then all of a sudden they pray and say, Lord, I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you. And then I say, oh, you want to go door knocking? No, I can't do that. Why? It was only the emotions. What is it that makes us truly committed to the Lord? What is it that's going to make it possible for us to be truly committed to the Lord? Well, it's not emotions. Now, emotions are okay. But emotions will fade in a moment. And then when those emotions fade, the question is after those emotions fade, what's motivating you then to remain committed to the Lord? After emotions fade, what is motivating you to remain committed to the Lord? What is keeping you when you're all alone or tempted or physically tired? What is your motivation then to just keep on keeping on for the Lord once your emotions fade, once your emotions change. Now, Peter did deny Christ, just as Christ said he would. But later, after if you continue reading, after Christ went to the cross and everything, they were actually told to go to the Sea of Tiberias. Now, a lot of people will teach that, you know, Peter and the disciples, they went over there and started fishing because they figured, well, Christ was dead. Let's go back to our old location and start, you know, they were saying they were wrong. If you actually read in the book of Matthew, the Lord told them to go to the Sea of Tiberias. They were actually obeying the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that they should have been fishing. I'm not saying it was right or wrong, but they were where they were supposed to be. Okay, now all of a sudden the Lord shows up there, and he's on the bank, and you know, and of course, you know, while he's out there and they're out there in the middle of the water, they look over and they see that's the Lord. Peter jumps into the water, and the Lord says, you know, he's got fish. And see, he says, "Come and let's dine." It's one of my favorite passages in all that Bible because I can't wait till the Lord tells me, "Come, let's dine." Amen. And so here he is. He's sitting on the side of the bank. Peter and the disciples, they come back from a night of unfruitful fishing. Jesus tells him to cast in their nets again. Peter complains, saying that he had just fished all night with no success. But because Jesus said to do it, Peter did it. He went back out there, and of course we know that the rest of the story, that when they pull up the nets were overflowing. Jesus then says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than all these?" Now, all these, he could be talking about the disciples, he's talking about the fish, it really doesn't matter. He's saying, "Peter, do you love me more than all these?" Now remember, this is the same Peter says, "Lord, I'll lay down my life for you." And the Lord says, "You'll deny me three times before the cock crows." And it happened. Peter went and wept bitterly. Now, Christ has already arisen from the dead. He's sitting there on the bank, and he looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me more than all these?" Peter's response, "Lord, you know I do. I love you, Lord." Three times Jesus asked that question to Peter, and each time Peter's response was that he does love the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Then Peter, feed my sheep." Jesus was showing Peter that to be true to Christ, one that is committed to serving the Lord, that Peter could not just give lip service. In other words, not just say that you are. He said, "Listen, if you're going to be totally committed to me, it's more than you just saying it. It's you having to actually do it." That's the reason the Lord didn't say, "Lord, do you love me?" and just leave it at that. The Lord didn't do that. He said, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, I do, Lord, I do." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, I do, Lord, yes, I do." But the one thing that we're missing is this. Every time that he asked him if he loved him, he'd say, "Then feed my lambs, then feed my sheep, then feed my lambs." In other words, show it. Show that you love the Lord. Don't just sit there and say it. How many of you understand that Peter had a problem with saying things all the time, but he didn't do it? He said, "I'll lay down my life for you, Lord." Did he really? He cut off Mangus's ear. That's as far as he went that night. Amen? He didn't lay down his life for the Lord. He says, "I'll never deny you, Lord." Listen, the rest of these people may deny you, but not me. Oh, no, not me. Talks cheap. Lord says, "You'll deny me." But then here he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Oh, you know I do, Lord. He goes, "Then show me. Show me." Talks cheap. In other words, don't give me lip service. Do it. Folks, that's what being a committed Christian is all about. It's not about us saying, "Well, you know, I want to serve the Lord any way I can." No, being the committed Christian is serving the Lord any way you can. Not just talking about it. Not just trying to make other people believe that you're a committed Christian. Actually showing that you're a committed Christian. Have you ever thought about what true faith really is? I mean, if you really think about it, faith is, when the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what we're told there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But if you look at faith, every time that you have ever had faith, and this is the one thing that a lot of preachers get messed up on in their doctrine, we're talking to some preachers that I think they mean well, but the one thing that you have to grab hold of in that Bible is this, that all the way through that Bible, for a person to say that they believe, that's good enough to get you saved. I mean, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for your sins, amen? There's a reason why he said that you get a free gift there. Why? There's a reason that Bible says that you can't earn it. In other words, if you could earn it, there'd be wages paid for it, amen? And so the Bible tells you that the gift that you have is a free gift. Does that mean that there's nothing I could do to work to earn it? Yes, because it's given to you for free. If I told you I've got a free package of Crest toothpaste, it's yours, you can have it. And let's say, I'm not saying anything about Al, I'm just saying I offer him a free thing of toothpaste, right? And then all of a sudden Al goes, well, let me paint your house for it. And I was like, no, it's free. There's nothing you could do to take it. It's free. He can't work for it, right? He can't work for it. It's free. But yet, you have passages in that Bible that says that without works, faith is dead. Now, what's that saying? That's not saying that you could possibly work for anything. But what it is saying is this. It's saying that if you truly are committed, if you truly do believe, you're going to do it. Amen? It does not mean that you're ever, listen, nobody was ever saved by works a day in their life, folks. It's always been by faith. And people get that thing messed up because in the Old Testament, now there are some things different about the Old Testament and New Testament. I'm not denying that. I mean, hey, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody, the Holy Spirit would leave somebody. That's not true today. Today, the moment you receive Jesus Christ, then you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, sealed until the day of redemption, and you're going to heaven whether you want to or not. Amen? Once you receive Jesus Christ. Now, why somebody would say, I don't want to go to heaven, I think I got a screw loose or something. But the truth of the matter is this, is once you receive Jesus Christ, he's going to get you home. That's just the way it is. Now, in the Old Testament, things were different. There were some things different. But from cover to cover, you know what saves a man? Faith. Hey, listen, when it come to Abraham, you know what saved him? It says that he believed God and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. It wasn't the works he did that was counted unto him for righteousness. It's the fact he believed God. Now listen, today if you're saved, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you got a free gift because of it. Nothing you could do to earn it. Nothing you could do to keep it. Amen? However, if you as a Christian today say, I'm committed Christian. Now listen, talk's cheap. If you truly love the Lord, what did he say to Peter? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you truly love the Lord and you were truly committed to him, what are you going to do? You're going to be a committed Christian. I'm committed to serving the Lord. I'm committed to it. It has nothing to do with your works getting you anything, but what it is you're showing that you love the Lord by the things that you do, by doing the things that he has asked you to do. Hey, isn't it the same way in our families? Men, why do you take out the trash when your wife tells you to? Well, you say, well, I don't want to cause trouble. No, that may be a slight part of it, but the truth of the matter is you love her. Why does your wife take care of you, men, when you're feeling bad? Because she loves you. Amen? It's the love that we have for each other that makes us do what we do for each other. Listen, if you didn't love your spouse, you'd never do anything for them. Amen? And when it comes the same way with Christ. Lovest thou me, Peter? Then feed my lambs. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. What does the Bible say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hey, that's in the New Testament, folks. He's not saying that you got to keep the commandments to be saved. Ain't a person in this world ever did that, because that's the reason why the Lord is part of the whole commandments when he gave, which by the way were a whole lot more than 10. There's a bunch of commandments he gave. And there's a whole bunch of different things like special days and special feasts and everything that people were to keep. But you know what he had in place? He had sin offerings. Now why do you suppose he had sin offerings? Because he knew that nobody could keep those commandments. So what do we want you to do? When you messed up, do the sin offering. You know what he wants you to do today when you mess up? Confess it to the Lord and ask forgiveness for it. Amen? And if you do it, you're good. That's the reason why David was known as a person after God's own heart. Did David mess up? He messed up bad. I mean, real bad. Not only did he have a friend killed, which was a death penalty. He deserved it for that. He also committed adultery, which had with it the death penalty. And you say, well, boy, Solomon didn't do half as bad as David. How come he wasn't a man after God's own heart? The difference is this. When Solomon was caught doing it, you know what he did? He made excuses. You remember when Samuel came down and Solomon decided he was going to offer a sacrifice himself, even though he wasn't a priest? And Samuel says, how come he did that? And basically Saul, in so many words, said, well, you hadn't come and everything, and we're getting ready to go to battle, and I needed to offer a sacrifice, but making excuses. All he had to say is, well, I messed up. I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. He didn't do that. He made excuses. You remember when he was supposed to kill Agag, the king? And all of a sudden, Samuel comes up there and goes, hey, I hear all these animals making noise when God said kill all the animals. And look, over there is Agag. How come he's still alive? The first thing Saul did, he made an excuse. You know what David did? Once Nathan come up to him and says, thou art the man, you know what David did? He said, I have sinned against God. I have sinned against God. When his child is laying there dying, he fasted and prayed. But you know what he said? The Lord takes him. He takes him. You know, that's the reason David was a man after God's own heart, because when he messed up, he got right with God. He didn't make excuses. He was committed to doing right before God. That's how we have to be, folks. Listen, works aren't going to save us, but works will sure show how much that you love the Lord. And so today we can see the end result of our faith. We can see how much that we're totally committed to the Lord by the things that we actually do, not by just the things that we say. Now, to show you that you as Christians, you say, well, how can I be committed? And what does it take for me to be committed? Well, like we said before, a person is committed, and how much a person is committed is based on how much you actually believe God. In other words, how committed you're going to be to Him is by how much you actually believe God. Now, let me ask you something. If the Lord were to walk in here right now physically, I think it'd be great, by the way, but if He walked in here right now physically, and He pointed to you and said, I want you to go that third house over there and beat on that door and tell them that Jesus Christ loves them, would you do it? You would hop to it that quick. I mean, you'd run out of here and do it, wouldn't you? Why? Because you, at that point, you believe what He said. He's a King of Kings. He's the Son of God, just told you to do something. And a person in this room wouldn't hop up and run the second He told you to do anything. At that point, you believe exactly what He's saying. You know what? You know how much your commitment level would rise if He were actually right here in front of you physically? You would do anything for Him. Amen? I mean, you'd be totally committed if He was right here. How come you're not totally committed now? Because there's a part in us that doesn't believe like we should. There's a part of us that doesn't believe the words of the Lord like we should believe them. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove that believing God is what makes a person committed. Look at the first case. Think about Noah. Here's Noah. He had never seen it rain ever a day in his life. Ever. It had not rained up to that point. Only thing, this world was watered by mist, the Bible says. He never even seen it rain. So all of a sudden God comes to Noah, and Noah had found grace in the sight of the Lord, and He comes to Noah and says, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. I can just imagine Noah saying, flood? What's a flood? I mean, there aren't many floods when you got mist watering everything, right? He says, I'm going to flood the earth. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to wipe out every living creature except for those people you're going to put on a boat that I'm going to tell you exactly how to build. I'm going to give you the dimensions of it, and I'm going to need you to build that boat. So Noah, because he believed God, only because he believed God, he started building that boat. And folks, it took him 120 years. Can you imagine building a boat for 120 years? Can you imagine how many times he must have smashed his finger when he was hammering on that boat? how many times that a board fell and how many times he got frustrated because this wasn't fitting and that wasn't fitting. I mean, up until this time, nobody ever built anything like that before. What kept him going? What kept him committed to doing what God told him to do? One thing. He believed what God said. When God says, I'm going to flood this earth, Lord Noah's like, well, if you say you're going to flood it, then you're going to flood it. I don't understand what a flood is. I don't understand about it. This thing talked about rain for 40. I don't understand any of that. But if you say it, it must be true. And if you told me to build an ark, I better go build that ark. If you told me to build a certain way, I better build a certain way. He was totally committed to doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And for one reason only. He believed the words of God. Do you want me to tell you the reason why there are Christians today who are not totally committed to going out and telling people about Christ? Because deep down, they really don't believe those words that says, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. Listen, folks, that's the reason when we get there and we see the lake of fire, the reality of everything that the Lord said to us is going to hit us right between the eyes at that point. And we're going to say, boy, I wished I had done what the Lord told me to do. Because look there, there's my neighbor. Look there, there's my second cousin. Hey, look over there, there's my sister. Why didn't I open my mouth? Because you really didn't believe what the Bible says. I mean, somewhere's down there, you doubt what the Bible says. Now I can prove that. If that house across the street were to catch fire right now, and you heard people on the inside yelling out for help, I have no doubts that everybody in this room would break their necks to go over there and do something, whether it be to put water on it or to go inside to grab them out or something. Why? Because when you see those flames, you know for sure what's going to happen to those people. They don't get out. Amen? I mean, you know it. What's going to drive you to be committed over there and get them out? The fact that you know it to be true. Why are we not as committed to telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ if we really believed every word that God told us? Do you realize that in that whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 there, it shows you person after person after person. It's called the Hall of Faith. Everybody there in Hebrews 11 that's mentioned, they were mentioned because of great faith, and every one of them did what they did for one reason, because they believed God. Every one of them. I mean, you could look at it and you'll see Barak there and you'll see Samson there. You say, what did Samson do? A lot when you read the passage, because he believed God. Noah, you'll see him there. You'll see all of them. But everything that they have in common is this. God said something, they believed it, and they acted upon it. Folks, that is what's going to make you committed to Christ, is you believing what he said. He's given you promises that says this. He said, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign with me. How many of you believe that? You know, I tell you this, if you believe it, then you'd be willing to suffer for him. Why do you think that those people in the Fox's Book of Martyrs gave up their life? Because they understood and believed every single promise that Jesus Christ gave. He said, listen, they understood when Paul says it's better to be with Christ than to be here. It's better to depart than to be here. They understood that. They believed it. They understood when the Lord says, if you suffer me, you'll reign with me. They weren't about to deny Christ. Why? They believed every word. They says, you know what? The Lord said it, so I believe it. Kill me if you want to. I've got heaven waiting on me. You know, that's the reason why people today, there are some Christians who doubt their salvation. And listen, everybody in this room has doubted their salvation at least once. Everybody in this room. Let me tell you why you doubted it. Because somewhere down there you didn't believe what God said. When God says everlasting life, you start to say, well, now, is everlasting really everlasting? Well, did God say it? But then it means everlasting. Amen? But what do? We doubt that. We doubt it. Listen, folks, if you want to be committed, a truly committed Christian, I mean, if you want to be a Christian that says, you know what, whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. Until you believe every word of that Bible, you'll never be committed. Until you believe God for what he says, you'll never be committed to do it. Because the Lord says this, and everything you do, do to the glory of God. There are Christians today who do not believe that. Therefore, everything they do it to the glory of somebody else. In other words, what they do because they want somebody else to pat them on the back and say, good job. Wow, it sure was great the thing you did. And they get, oh, that's so great to be accepted. It's so great for people to see that the work I'm doing. But then all of a sudden when those people turn on them, or those people no longer pat them on the back, they're ready to bolt and quit. You know why? They didn't believe the part where God says, and everything you do, do to the glory of God. They didn't believe the fact that it says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Now, I understand working in that nursery, you're going to be doing some suffering. Amen? But it says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. If you work in a nursery, you do it because you love the Lord. I mean, seriously, you do it because you love the Lord. Amen? That's the way it is. Yesterday, we went door knocking, and it was raining. Raining. You know what the first thing that hit my mind was? The words, Lord, saying, if you suffer me, you'll reign with me. Now, I understand going out in the rain in August is not that big a suffering. But it's worse than it is when it's sunny. Amen? Why do we do what we do? Because we believe God. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, I do. Then show me. Show me. You want to be a committed Christian? Believe what God said. And do it. Just don't give lip service. Actually do it. And that's what being a committed Christian is all about. Let's pray.